Phil, and I'm gonna say something, Tim, and it's, yeah, it's funny. I feel a heaviness here tonight, and it's not me. It's not because I broke the pew. I just feel a heaviness here tonight, and I'm not sure what it is, but let me just start off just saying, I hope some people prayed up today for tonight and what's going on or what the Lord has for us, but let me just say this. If anyone has come here tonight to hear me or to hear of me,
right,
you've already started off on the wrong foot.
That's right.
It's not about Dale Morey.
Right. Yeah.
It's about what Jesus Christ can do for people like Dale Morey or for those who are sitting in the pews, because outwardly, you may not have lived the life that I lived, but for sure, inwardly, you're just as guilty as I am. Because the Bible's very clear that if you break the law in one, you're guilty of all. That means you're just as guilty as I am.
Yeah.
There's no difference in you and me when it comes to that. I was just crazy enough to go out there and live those things outwardly, but inwardly, we've lived them. And that's I just want to read something real quick that the Lord just gave me. This out of Matthew chapter 15, and it says in verse 18, it says, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart." Okay? Those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. And so people say, "Well, I didn't mean to say that." Yes, you did.
Yeah.
Yes, you did.
That's right.
That's what's in your heart. Well, I didn't mean to cuss you out. I didn't mean to say this, or I didn't mean to do that. Yes, you did. That's what's in your heart.
Right.
Today what's happened is we're able to go out there and say and make excuses for ourselves. There's no excuse for what we say. There's no excuse. And I told you guys last night that I still struggle with things today that my mother has said to me some 40-odd years ago. My mother said those things. She doesn't have an excuse for saying them. She did it because that's what really was in her heart towards me. That was really what was in her heart towards my brother. That was in her heart. And so when we say these things, we say, "Well, I didn't mean to say that. Forgive me for saying that." No, you meant to say it. Just go ahead and live up to it. You got that off your chest. You may feel better with that person you said it to, don't. He says here, "But these things which proceed out of the mouth of God," out of the mouth, verse 18, "come forth from the heart, and they are which defile a man." And verse 19 says, "For out of the heart proceed what? Evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man." Let me just say this. You say, "Well, I didn't commit any of those." In your heart you have. In your heart you're guilty of it.
That's right.
I tell my children this. I'll say, "Hey, look, I told you to do such and such," and he looks like a good little Christian boy, right? He looks like he's obeying. I'll say, "Hey, look, stop right there. Turn around and look at me." "Yeah, Dad, what's up?" "What you say in your heart towards me?" I may not have heard what you said, but God had just seen what you said in your heart to me. And we all walk around doing that.
Right.
But we're not held accountable for it. We just look at the bad guy with the tattoos and say, "Well, he had a bad life." Oh, no. Oh, no, it ain't just me. There's not a person in this pew. Hey, listen, if there's people sitting in these pews tonight who thinks that they're not just as guilty as I am, there's an issue. Jesus Christ didn't say, Brother Trent, he didn't say you're going out and committing these things. He says these things are proceeding from your heart.
Amen.
They're not even a physical thing that you're going out there doing. These are just things that you're putting in your heart. These are things that are in your heart. These are the things that you're thinking about. Hey, some of us were just brave enough to live them. Some of us were just brave enough to go out there and say that stuff.
Yeah,
it's good. That's right.
You don't have to turn there if you can, if you want. Luke, go to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, I just want to show something here. The Lord just showed me this. This wasn't something I planned out, but Luke chapter 23, And we're going to start in verse 40 and 41. I'm just going to read them real quick. And it's talking about the malefactors that are hanging on the cross, and one of them is railing on Jesus. I have people all the time sitting in church pews, and they rail on me. Well, he lived that kind of life, or he did this, and oh, look, he did that. I never did this. And I wanted to show you something, that God doesn't look at it that way. And he gave that to us in the King James Bible here. And this is what he says, and he says this. In verse 40, he says, but the other answered and rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing that thou art what? In the same condemnation?
Right.
Amen.
Woo! Hey, my friend, you at one point were in the same condemnation that I was.
Yeah.
But people don't see it that way. They try to make different levels of sin.
That's right.
There is no different levels of sin in God's eyes. I told my children this. I said, you going out there and stealing a piece of bubble gum, in God's eyes, that thievery is the same as murder. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not murder. If thou offendest in one, you're guilty of all. That's hard for people to chew on. It's hard for people to see. Oh my goodness. How can I be? Hey, let me just say this. I'm going to use some extreme examples, but let me just say this. Charles Manson and those things that he did, do you know that any time that you've had any hatred or bitterness in your heart, you were just as guilty as he was of doing that?
That's right.
What's Jeremiah 17:9-10 say? The heart is deceitful. It's desperately wicked. Above all things, that means this. That means today, if your heart and the devil were to meet in the alley, the devil will have to bow down to your heart. The book of Proverbs says this. The book of Proverbs says that our heart will take the wicked himself. Our hearts do that. But yet we tell people, trust Jesus in your heart. Trust that wickedness in your heart. Jesus Christ has showed us here, these things weren't outwardly, they're inwardly. Yeah. Most people, they start looking for religion when they're in desperation. Most people start looking for Jesus Christ when the bottom has fallen out on their life. Most people are looking for Jesus Christ when depression comes, or they're in financial trouble, or they have an addiction, or they're getting ready to go to jail or prison or death. This is when people start wanting to look for this Jesus Christ. They start hearing of this God named Jesus Christ and how he died for them because of his love for them. They start looking for a religious experience because they are running emotionally charged. When people come into a church and they're hurting, they're on an emotional trip. They're looking for any type of relief they can get, and somebody tells them about this Jesus Christ, and they start coming in here and they're looking for an emotional relief. They're looking for something that most don't get. But somebody has come up there and they told them about this Jesus Christ who can change this and he can change that and he can take away this and he can take away that. And let me just say, that is some of the most worthless stuff you could ever tell a person. Because that's not what they stand guilty in God's eyes for. Why do they stand? When you tell a person, hey, are you a sinner? They say, yes. Then why are you a sinner? What makes you a sinner? Oh, because I drink and I do drugs. Has nothing to do with it.
Right.
Oh, I drink and I do drugs and, you know, I cuss and, I fornicate and I commit adultery. Do you know people get all day long? When I was in a bar, you could come up to me and say, hey, man, you think you're a sinner? Yeah, I'm a sinner. You know, you need to be saved from what? Nobody's dealing with them. They're just trying to tell them some temporary relief that they can have, some emotional charge that they can get if they just hurry up and come here. And I want you to listen to what I have to say. And you want relief from what? What do you want relief from? What are you looking for relief from? Are you looking for relief from what you are in God's eyes? Or are you looking for relief for what you are in this world?
That's it. That's it.
There's a difference. Today, people are being tricked and deceived into thinking that, hey, you got to come up here and you got to come to this altar and you got to be sorry for what you've done against the people on this earth or for what was done against you. And that is sending people to hell by the dozens. It's not about that, my friends. It's about the godly sorrow that worketh repentance, not to be repented of, that worketh unto salvation. So when these troubles come, people are coming and say, hey man, let me just say this. This can happen for you, and that can happen for you. And then these well-meaning religious people, they come up and they say, hey, if you'll just trust Jesus as your Savior, He'll forgive you of your sins, and He'll take all this away. Would you like to pray with me? And you know what they're going to say? Yes, I'd love to pray with you. My life is a mess. And then we lead them through a prayer.
That's right. That's right.
3-4 days, a week, 2 weeks go by. You try to find them. Where they? How come they're not in the church pew? How come their life hasn't changed a bit? Is the problem because God didn't save that person? Is the problem with God that He's too weak? No, the problem is not with that. The problem is with them. We just led them on an emotional trip. We promised them that this Jesus would take that from them, and then we left them out there to die in their sins. We inoculated them against Jesus Christ, as my pastor would say. Now we have built up a wall. Next time you go to deal with them, they say, oh, I prayed that prayer. We heard the one lady tell us that one time walking down the road. Remember when she said this? I prayed the prayer. Oh, me and God are one.
Yeah.
Going to get her dope. Going to get her fixed. Don't worry, I already took care of that. Me and God are one. That's where they come. That's what we do to them. That's the hell we lead them down.
That's right.
Church pews should not ever be empty with as many people as we think we're leading to Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Let me say this. After I got saved, nobody had to beg me to come to church.
Right. Yeah. That's exactly right.
Nobody had to beg me to open my Bible and read and pray.
Amen.
Yeah.
A few days when nothing happens, this person, their circumstances don't change, they begin. They'll be nice to the pastor. They'll be nice to the evangelist who goes and knocks on their door. But you know what? They're bitter against God because of that. You told me this guy was going to change me, and He didn't. You told me He was going to deliver me out of this circumstance, and guess what? I'm still in it. We're promising them life where there is no life.
Right.
We're promising them deliverance as a person where there may not be deliverance right away. And we can't get them to listen to the gospel anymore. And they're not bitter at the man of God. You know who they become bitter against? God. Meet 90% of the people in the churches today, and one of the first things they'll tell you is this: when they got saved, I was bitter against God. I would be too. I thank God that I never had religion, because I didn't have to get rid of as much as somebody who grew up in church. I didn't have to get rid of as much as they did to get saved. That's reality. This person now has to put up a wall. They have put up a wall. And now anyone who has to try to deal with them, they'll say, I tried it. I've done that. They don't believe in the saving grace of God. They don't believe God loves them and would die for them. They don't believe that God can change their lives or their circumstances. And they never will again. That door's been closed. They're seeking God because of addiction, because of depression, because of divorce, because of death, because of financial ruin, not because they sinned against the holy God. They have no clue they've done that.
Right.
because we've so pumped their heads with the things they've done against people in this world. They don't know godly sorrow.
Right.
We don't allow them to come underneath the godly sorrow that worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of.
Right.
I would have died and went to hell holding on to that worldly conviction. I tried to call that conviction. I would say, I just came underneath Holy Ghost conviction. I would come up and I would pray at an altar and I'd leave the same way. And God had to show me, Dale, you're holding on to the worldly things like it's conviction for me. It's not. He was trying to open my eyes, and I said this, I don't remember where I said it, maybe a few nights ago. Deceived people don't know they're being deceived.
Right.
Do you know that, Brother Trent? Deceived people don't know they're being deceived?
No, they don't. That's the meaning of deception.
Deceived people don't realize they're being deceived. If you would, for a few minutes here, turn with me to Psalm chapter 51. Psalm chapter 51, I'd like to share a few things with you out of the Word of God. I just understand that God wants to do some things, but we have to get some things out of the way. And we have to let God do a work in our lives. And so Psalm chapter 51, I'll give you a minute to get there. And I'm going to start in verse 6. And I'm going to read some verses. I might skip around here and there. But Psalm 51, verse 6 says this. And, when I got up this morning, the Lord woke me up again at 4 o'clock. And, I said, Lord, I'm really tired. I'm going to go lay down. I laid down for a little bit, and I got back up. And as soon as I got up, the Lord just started working with me on the message. Okay? And so this is what the Lord gave me. So Psalm 51, verse 6 says this. Behold, thou desireth truth in the inward parts. Who desires that? God desires the truth in the inward parts. Hey, let me just say this. People aren't desiring the truth in the inward parts today. Sitting in Bible-believing churches. When God starts waking them up to things, they don't want to see that. They don't want to hear that. Hey, maybe you should court and, get back out there and get rid of that dating and all this and that. Guess what? They don't want to hear that. Hey, maybe that profession that you made, maybe you didn't get it. John 5:44 says this. It says, how can you believe? It's a question Jesus Christ is asking you. How can you believe, which receive honor one from another, and not the honor from God alone? You see, so many people are worried about what people are going to think of them. They're willing to go to hell with that.
Right.
They're willing to hold on to that profession. Because they're afraid of what somebody's going to think of them to let go of it and say, I'm lost.
Right.
I'm dying. I'm going to go to hell.
Yeah.
And they're afraid of what people are going to think of it rather just to come out and get it done and over with.
Right.
Let God deal with them.
Amen.
Yeah. Be naked and open before God.
He knows it anyway. He says, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt be made to know wisdom. And here the desire of God is for us to know the truth on the inward parts. What is truth? John 17:7 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Let me just say this. I have never in my life seen a time where people don't want to open that Bible up and they call themselves a Christian.
Amen. I agree.
What's the excuse we hear all the time? Well, I just don't have time to read my Bible. Maybe it's just because I'm not reading my Bible enough or whatever it is. Why is it that we have time for everything else? We always make time for every single thing on this planet, but when it comes to church and Bible, we can't make the time. We're too tired. We'll do this or do that.
Right.
My pastor says it well. He says, Dale, when I got saved, I said, Pastor, I'm just having a hard time with this whole, making time to read my Bible. What's finding time to read my Bible? He says, don't find time, make time.
Yeah. Amen.
Don't try and find time because you won't. It'll escape you. But you make time. And I said, you know what? That's what I'll do then. And so that's why I get up early in the mornings.
Right.
Oh, does it make you holier than thou? No, it does not make me holier. I still make mistakes. I still fall, still sin. I still trip up. But you know what I don't? I don't handle things the way I would if I didn't read my Bible.
That's right, yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
That's
good. Thou desires truth. Hey, how many here tonight really are desiring the truth on the inward part?
Amen.
Amen.
They're really ready for God to go ahead and open them up and show them what it's really about. Because that's God's desire for every single person sitting in these pews.
Amen.
That's what it says.
Yeah.
John 14:6 says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen.
He is the way. There is no other way. Our religious beliefs and our religious acts and so on, that's not going to get us to heaven. Miss Hayne, I love Miss Hayne, Pastor Hayne. She's just, I mean, you look at her, you know she had to get saved?
Yeah.
She is just the sweetest woman. You think, oh my goodness, she had to get saved.
Her grandkids joked that she had no sin.
She had to get saved. She had to desire the truth on the inward parts.
Amen.
She had to know where to go to get that.
Sinner
saved by grace. John 1:14, it says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the Father, only begotten, beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God wants His Word to be embedded within us in our deepest parts, and we keep shutting it off. It's what we do. It's what we do as human beings. I mean, for years, 4 years I sat in a pew lost in the church. The same pew that I sit in today, I sat in my church lost. You go, oh man, that's crazy. No, I was real. I was real. I wasn't settling for maybe. I wasn't settling for 99.9%. I guarantee you that. I was not settling that, because this Bible talks about a Bible that you can know, that you can know, that you can know, and there will not be any doubts. Oh, you can't. Oh, okay. You have the wrong God then. You got a different God than I have.
Yeah.
Because my life was plagued with doubts. Well, can I really be saved? I'm not sure if I can really be saved. Well, who are you believing in? What are you believing in? God's the one who will erase those doubts. God wants His Word to be embedded in us.
Yes.
In the deepest parts. But we shut it off. Why does God want to reach in so deep? Psalm 119:9 says, whither all shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. I sit around amazed. And I travel around and I watch the people in churches. And sometimes I just feel like I'm in a theater. I'm not kidding. It's just a bunch of show. I heard a guy tell me one time, well, I can finally go ahead and take off my work uniform. A preacher told me that, Tim. I can go ahead and take off my work uniform now. It's a show. Christianity's become a show. It's a place to showboat. It's a place now everybody follows the same thing. Hey, let's just go ahead and send everybody to Christian college. Let's make them smarter. The Bible says, where are we to learn the Bible, Brother Trent?
In their home.
In the home church, which is the what? Pillar and ground of the truth. Any Bible that I learned, number one, I learned sitting in my church. Number two, I learned sitting down with the Holy Ghost of God at my table and let Him teach me.
Amen.
I don't have a commentary in my house. I don't have a dictionary in my house.
Amen.
I got a few books laying there.
Right.
Which are secondary.
Right.
Yeah. Today's day and age, everybody has to have a book explain something to them.
Yeah.
Why can't your Bible explain it to you?
Right.
How did that person who wrote the book get it explained to them? He sat down and put the work in. Yeah. Isn't that what it says in 2 Timothy? Study to show yourself approved unto your pastor. Study to show yourself approved unto the person next to you in your pew. No, study to show yourself approved unto God.
Amen.
A workman. W-O-R-K. Work. Work in that Bible. Study that thing. Show God you love it.
Yeah.
Right.
Show him you love him. He gave it to you. Here it is. Why is it so hard? Why do we find time for every single thing? You could be as tired as all get up. If you had something else to do, you go and do it. But if somebody says, you know what? You say, oh, you know, Lord, I'm sorry. I did not read my Bible today. I will catch up with that tomorrow.
Yeah.
Basic instructions before leaving earth. That's what I call it, the Bible. It's obvious for 40 years I didn't know how to run my life. And now I'm going to try to do it outside of his word? Whither also a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Hebrews 4:12 says the word of God is quick. That means alive. It's alive. It does something to you. It makes you do things that you ordinarily wouldn't have done. Let me just say this. That King James Bible sitting in your lap is against everything that you are.
Amen.
Amen.
That's why people don't like it.
That's right.
Amen. That's good.
Because it's against everything we are. Hey, let me just say this. A human being didn't write that.
Yeah, amen. Yeah.
You wonder why? It's like looking in the glass darkly.
Oh.
And when that thing starts exposing it, guess what? We don't like to look at it. We try to close it and forget about what we just seen.
Right.
Seen enough. That was hard. Hard to see that. Hard to understand it, but I just remember when God showed me that this thing is against everything you are. That's how I know God wrote it. Because man tries to soften things up and lighten things up, and they like to put their opinions and their knowledges in things. Messes it all up. And here's what it says, that it's quick. It's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Any two-edged sword.
That's right.
Piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow. And here's where people don't like it. And is the discerner of and thoughts and the intents of the heart.
Amen.
Boy, it's hard when God shows you an intent in your heart. It's hard to see that. It's hard to face those things. But that's what it does to you. That's what it's for. Hey, let me just say this. I may not be much of a man to this world, but I thank God that I'm not. But I can tell you one thing right now. I wouldn't be who I am today if it wasn't for that Bible.
Right.
Amen.
Because it shows me about myself. It splits those hairs. You go, oh, you're just one of those people who splits hairs about the Bible. Good, I'm glad I am. Thank the Lord for it. Thank God that I finally found what the truth really is. And God can split those hairs in me.
That's right.
And it can change me and make me the man I am.
Yeah, sharp enough to split
it. Sharp enough to split it. I ain't got much on my head, but he splits them.
You're right.
That's right.
Come on.
I'm going to go home, and I'm alright with it. Because you know why? I've just been saying something funny. In the book of Leviticus, you know, back in the Old Testament, to be bald meant you were unclean. In the book of Deuteronomy, God makes the bald head clean. In Deuteronomy 22, I believe it is. He says, you are with a bald head are now clean. You know, like, here's how you can test if somebody really loves God. If they really believe. If I said, hey, how many in here believe that the laws of God were holy and just? Everybody like, oh yeah, man. Do you know that at some time back in the Old Testament, that if your child did not listen, that you would have to bring them to the priest to stone them? Well, I don't agree with that. Then you don't agree with God's law. Then you don't agree with what God has to say about it. Listen, if you can't agree with God's law, you ain't going to agree with Him. The law is the schoolmaster to bring us under Christ. How do we find out? How does a person find out they're lost? By me coming up and telling them they're lost?
No.
That's where it's come today. Here, let me run you through the Romans real quick. Let me show you. Answer me one thing. Show me where the Romans wrote tells somebody, show somebody why they're lost. Somebody explain it to me. How does a person know that they're sinning against a holy God out of the Romans wrote? Somebody please show me that. Let me ask you this. Show me Jesus Christ. Show me Paul. Show me John. What did they use to show somebody they were lost?
Right.
The laws of God.
That's right.
They never used the Romans wrote.
Oh.
Let me ask you this. How many of them, Paul, John, Jesus, How many of them prayed people through a prayer? How many?
No.
Then why are we doing it today?
Right.
Where's the fruit of it?
That's right.
Show me.
None.
I travel around to hundreds of churches and such, and let me just say this. I hear people all the time say, well, 400 or 500 got saved, 1,000 got saved, 2, 3, 20 got saved. And when I go back to that church, not one of those people are saved sitting in the church. When I got saved, I became a church member. Hey, when I got saved, church, when going to church wasn't something we did anymore. It's who we became. My pastor didn't have to come knocking at my door. Hey, you want to come to church? Come on, man. We want you to get in church. Hey, you know, Dale, you really ought to read. Nobody had to tell me to read my Bible. What a Christian starts desiring. You remember when you get saved, you got saved out of something? What was it that you got saved out of? Your drugs? The alcohol? The jails and the prisons? Is that what you think you got? Is that what you think salvation is? It's part of what happens, but it is not.
Right.
Salvation is when you finally see yourself.
Yeah.
In this Bible, the way God looks at you.
That's right. Amen.
Not the way a preacher looks at you. Not the way an evangelist looks at you. Not the way a missionary looks at you. Not the way your best friend that's sitting next to you in your pew looks at you. The way God sees you. And if you ever seen yourself the way God sees you, it'd make you want to vomit.
Right. Yeah. Abhor myself.
Vomit. A man of unclean lips. Filth. Well, I didn't do the things you did. You ain't got to do the things I did outwardly. You did them inwardly. That made you just as filthy as me. Well, I don't believe that. Well, then you don't believe God. You don't believe the Word. You don't believe the Bible. Well, God is love. He sure is. He loves so much that He went and died on the cross to save people like us.
Amen.
Like who? Those who know what they are in His eyes. Those who allow God allow to open their eyes and show them exactly what they are. Didn't we just see that, the man hanging on the cross? At first, he was reviling with the other guys.
That's right.
That's right.
Then he understood, oh my goodness. Shut your mouth. We deserve this.
Amen.
He doesn't.
Amen.
Salvation took place on that cross for that man.
Amen.
Now, let me just give you another little tidbit. Jesus Christ told that man he'd be with him in paradise today.
Amen.
Jesus Christ died. Where did that man go? He stayed on that cross and his legs had to be broken. He had to die the sinner's death.
Right.
So he died.
Yeah.
He didn't take him off that cross. When Jesus Christ died, that man didn't go to heaven with him right there. He left him right on that cross. They had to come and break his legs for him to die.
Yeah.
That's reality. And everybody's going out there telling, hey, this God loves you so much, don't worry, He'll take everything away from you. Do you know what we're doing against people when we tell them that? We're building a hatred towards God, a bitterness towards God with that nonsense.
Right.
Did I talk about the woman with the issue of blood?
No, I want to hear it.
Woman comes to Jesus Christ. I think I said this. I don't know where I was. The woman comes up. First, it says that she heard. She heard of Jesus Christ, this man Jesus Christ. She heard. Listen to me. At this point, she's home by herself because she's dirty, according to Leviticus chapter 7 and according to Leviticus chapter 13. She's unclean. She can't be around anybody. She has to be home by herself for 12 years. Family can't come in. They can't be around her. And it says that she heard of this man Jesus. Who led her through the Romans road? Who came in there and said a prayer? No. Nobody did. She's by herself and she heard of this man Jesus. Guess what she does? She runs out that door. You know what it says she's doing? She's thronging the people. Does anybody know what thronging means in English, not Greek or Hebrew? It means she shoved people out of the way. She's touching them every single time she's walked out that door. She's throwing it. She's pushing them. What's she doing? She's trying to get to Jesus Christ because it says she knows that if she could just touch the hem of his garment, she'll be made clean. She's by herself. Nobody's leading her. Nobody's promising her any emotional anything. Nobody's trying to tell her about any relief or anything. She heard of this man, Jesus Christ, and she knew that she could just get to him, if she could just get to him, that he would do something. And that's what the Holy Ghost is trying to do in the pews. He's trying to get them to hear Jesus Christ and not the man.
Right. That's right. Yeah.
When that Holy Ghost is moving across them pews, he's trying to convince people, get to Jesus. He can do something for you. And she does. She was not going to let a single thing stop her. She had her eyes fixed on Jesus Christ, and she just runs, and she's thronging through that crowd. She's pushing him out of the way to get to him. And she gets there, bang. Then she goes, I wonder if he can really help me. She was already ready, Trent.
Yeah.
You see, people got to be brought to the place where they're ready.
Yeah.
And a man's trying to do that with their little microwave salvation.
Right.
Leave them alone. God knows when they're going to get saved. God knows when they're ready.
Right.
Be patient, pray for them, love them, give them the gospel of Jesus Christ, and show them. God knows when they're going to be saved.
Yeah, long suffering.
Gets up there, she don't think about it, she just touches, bam. Her uncleanness goes into him. And let me just say this, I want to clear up, if there's anybody in here who's religious, you're not born with virtue. Many times in your Bible, virtue is given by Jesus Christ. He takes our uncleanness and he gives us his virtue. Sister Mary, Martha, whoever, all those saints and all that nonsense, listen, they're not born virtuous. They're born sinners.
Amen.
Who need to be saved.
Amen.
Blood guilt.
Virtue comes into her. Jesus Christ turns around. Wanted to know who touched. You don't think he knew? He knew, but you know what? He wanted to hear the confession. That's what we wanted to hear.
Yeah.
She really believed that? She did. She told him exactly. You know what he says to her? Never. She came to Jesus Christ with her issue. If you go back and read, you know what it says? Woman, thy faith hath made thee whole, and you've been healed of your plague. That's a whole different thing than she went to Jesus with. She went to Jesus with her issue. And he healed her plague. That means he was after her sin nature. He wasn't after those things that were outwardly. He wasn't after her drinking and drugging. And he wasn't after her being a convict and everything else. He's after that sin nature. You see, people want to come to Jesus with their issues. He's not worried about the issue. He's worried about that plague called the sin nature. And you know what? When he takes care of that plague of the sin nature, then those issues start going away.
That's right.
Why think you don't see the drugs and alcohol in my body anymore? Why don't I have to go see psychiatrists and psychologists anymore? Because they were all issues, and man wants to continue to put a band-aid on them.
That's right.
Jesus Christ don't put band-aids off, he rips them off.
Amen. Amen.
He's gonna expose that nonsense. He's gonna let that gangrene and that funk, he's gonna let it hang out, and the Son of God is gonna come in there and heal it.
Amen.
Not temporarily, permanently.
That's right.
But here we go. We got people all day long trying to come to Jesus with drinking, drugging, alcoholic, all this stuff. Those are the issues. Those are the tentacles coming out from the real issue, the plague. It's all they are. And you know, when a person gets Jesus Christ, guess what happens, Brother Trent? Those tentacles get cut off. I didn't need AA or NA. I don't need AA or NA. You know why I don't need AA or NA? Because Jesus Christ made me recover, DD.
Amen.
That's
right.
AA and NA never kept me clean. It always gave me an excuse to fall. Gave me an excuse to go back out there and do what I want to do. And then just come back and confess it. Hi, my name is Dale. I'm an alcoholic and I'm a drug addict. And I was sober for 15 years. And then I fell on my face. My name is Dale. I'm a born-again, saved, blood-washed man.
Yeah.
I got saved 8 years ago,
yeah.
And I haven't even desired to touch
Amen.
A drink. You know why?
Amen.
Because he made me a new man where he took that stuff off and he cut them and he got rid of them.
Amen.
I don't carry that burden with me anymore. I don't carry the burden of having drugs and alcohol in my life.
Byproduct, amen. Byproduct of salvation.
But you know, a person's got to come to that place where they desire the truth on the inward parts. They got to be able to face what the doctors and psychiatrists try to medicate. Do you hear me? People have to face what the psychiatrists and the psychologists try to medicate. Because nobody ever told me that I had a dirty and unclean conscience. That would have took care of things a long time ago if they would have said, hey, your hope is in Jesus Christ. He can clean that conscience. Yet, Baptist, good, wholesome, good, clean, living, Bible-believing Baptists are sitting in church pews making the pharmaceutical companies absolute millionaires with their antidepressants.
Thank you.
I thought Jesus gave peace that passes all understanding. I thought he gave joy. I thought he gave a new life where he would take those things away.
Right. Keep preaching it.
You see, what happens is when somebody is promised something and then don't come, it's not because God didn't do something. It's because those people don't believe it. They don't believe it. Hey, I'm proof of what happens when somebody believes. Not trust. Show me once in the Bible where it says trust Jesus for salvation. Show me. Show me. 131 times in your Bible, it's believe. 131 times it's in your Bible. 114 times it's in the New Testament, the word believe. 85 of those 114 times, it's in the book of John alone. And you know what it says? Believe unto salvation. Never trust. Let me just say this. Trust. Anybody that used to come up to me and say, would you trust Jesus Christ in your heart for salvation? No, I would not. I'd like to spit on him, though. Because every single person that told me that I could trust them ripped my heart out of me. They did me wrong. Jailhouse religion is built on people trying to trust Jesus Christ. All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What a wonderful verse. But it doesn't end there. How can they call on whom they don't believe? How can they call on whom they don't believe? How can they call on who they don't believe?
Hey. Right.
They don't believe. John 3:16 is a wonderful verse, isn't it? We like to go out there and give it to everybody. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall trust in him, it's not what it says. Believe.
Amen.
Believe. Believe. The problem is people don't believe. Psalm 78:22 says this. It says, because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation. Pretty cut and dry there, I would say.
Right.
That's one of the many times. The problem is, people don't want to desire the inward parts of the truth. Or the truth. You know why they don't want it in the inward parts? Because some man has came by and tickled their ear. Jesus warns about that thing, Brother Tim, in Mark chapter 7. Says you want to take the traditions of men and forget about the commandments of God. They become of no effect. And so now we have people who are sitting in churches today who have their Bible open. And a man will say something. He will teach something. And the Bible, the King James Bible, will say something different. And they'll believe that man over that Bible. They'll shut it right up. And they'll say, no, well, my pastor or that commentary told me, no, that's not what it really meant. What? Wait, I thought we were King James Bible believers. Oh, you're King James Bible readers. There's a difference between being a King James Bible reader and a King James Bible believer.
Believer.
I'm not just a reader. I gave up reading the King James Bible a long time ago when I gave up religion. And I got with this relationship with this man named Jesus Christ.
Right.
His words.
He is the word.
Yeah.
John 1:14 makes that clear. Psalm 138, verse 2. says that God honors his word above his own name. Psalm 119, verse 89. Thy word, O Lord, is settled forever in heaven. In heaven. It's settled. It's done. Who desires the truth on the inward parts? That's the question here tonight. Who's desiring the truth on the inward parts? Who's willing to hear that? Maybe read verse 7 in Psalm 51. It says, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. And it talks about purging and washing, which is, it can be painful both spiritually and physically. When a purging comes, what it says, a purging is to cleanse or to purify by separating and carrying off whatever's impure. To clear from guilt, to purge away sin. Then it says to wash me. You see, you got to go through a purging first. That means God's got to bring all that scum to the surface. I've watched people year after year after year come up, and they come to an altar because God has showed them one thing, and they walk away not changed. Because God, all he's been doing is purging. He hasn't even gotten to the washing part yet.
That's right. Amen.
Doesn't that say there's a two-step process right there?
Yeah.
There are some people who get it. They become purged, and God can cleanse them right away. But I'm just going to say, not today. How many times, Amy, there she is in the back of the TV and up front, my love. How many times did we run up to an altar and say, that's it, God showed me, that's it, I got it. This is it. This is what it means. I got it. Look. It was just one more thing that he dealt with me on. Yeah. One more thing to get me to see what I needed to see. Well, what is it that you needed to see, Dale? Here's what I needed to see. I knew that I was a rebel against mankind because I always ended up in jail, prison, mental hospitals, and rehabs. Okay? That's pretty cut and dry. But what I did not understand is that I was a rebel against a holy God.
Right.
Why is that? Because I continued to hold on to the worldly sorrow which worketh death. W-O-R-K-E-T-H. You see that E-T-H on the end of that? That means it's something that continues to happen. It worketh death, both spiritually and then eventually physically. And we're watching people die spiritually in our pews. He got it this time. He's running up to that altar. Look, he's got it this time. Snotting all over the pews, and they get up and not an inkling of a change in their life.
Matter of fact, they avoid the preacher.
Yeah. They want to get away from the church, not near the church.
That's right.
They want to see that one. Come here, son. Did you tell him what happened?
Sure.
Now tell him. That's what I used to have preachers do to me.
Wow.
Am I lying, Amy?
No, I
stand. You stand up there and tell him. I said, I'm not sure. No, you tell him that you're okay. You're okay. I don't. Maybe I said this last night, but I for sure said it on Tuesday. I said, when the Holy Ghost of God, and that King James Bible is being preached, and there's doubt in the room, it's not the devil.
Amen.
It's God trying to show me where I really stand
right.
With him.
Yeah.
But I would have a man come up to me and tell me, don't worry, it's just the devil doing that to you.
Right.
So man, the devil's more powerful than God in that Bible being preached.
Right.
How do we know we're ever in revival then?
Right.
How do we ever know when it's God doing it then?
Right.
Please explain that to me. How can you decipher whether it's God or the devil doing it then? Talks about purging and then washing away. And then after that, God purges and he brings up all the sin and the guilt and the scum of our life, it says we need a good washing. 1 John 1 John 1:7, and it talks about, and I don't want to misquote it, but here's what it says in 1 John 1:7. It says this, 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, you know that's a proof of salvation.
That's right.
Brethren, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood, and the what? And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin.
Amen.
That red crimson blood makes us white as snow.
Amen.
It washes us, and that's what we need after what? The purging. God can't save a person who doesn't know what they are in his eyes. What are they being saved from? Explain. Can you explain to me what you're being saved and why you need to be saved? Because I smoke, drink, fornicate, commit adultery. That's what they'll tell you. They have no clue they're doing that against the holy God. They have zero clue they're doing that against the holy God. How can they come to that purging then? How can they come to that place where they're being purged? And verse 8 says this. It says, make me to hear joy and gladness. Look at this. That the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. I know some people who got saved, and God has broke some bones in them. They're now in a wheelchair. You know why? Because they continue to reject Jesus Christ. They continue to blow that candle out. And some physical elements have come on them. And you know what? They got saved. And let me say this, when they got saved, nobody had to convince them to come to church anymore or read their Bible. The bones that thou hast broken may rejoice. Maybe God has to or had to bring physical handicap for some to hear what he needed to tell them. I thank God for the things that he has brought in my life to expose where I am and what I am still today.
Amen. That's right.
I thank God that today I still come to that place where I need to repent from things. But it doesn't come easy. I'm a knucklehead. I was a knucklehead out there living like a knucklehead, and I'm a knucklehead serving Jesus Christ. And I'm still a hardhead, and he's going to show me these things. I'm almost done here. I just want to show you something here. Let's go to verse 17. I'll read verse 16. It says, for thou desirest not sacrifice. That means he doesn't care about your religious works. He's not looking for the religious works. He doesn't desire that. It's sickening to God when we think we're doing something religious. When we're doing something righteous. He says, your righteousness is a filthy rag. He's not worried about our religious works. That's not what he desires. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. That's religion. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. How many, my friends, of you that have been around long enough have seen the despair of a drug addict, alcoholic, somebody going to jail, prison, and so on? Do they not have a broken spirit? Of course they do. Do they not have a broken heart? Absolutely. But what's missing? Contrition. Anybody know what contrition means in English? An absolute deep sorrow for what you've done against the holy God.
Against God.
Right.
Against God.
That's what's missing today. I see people all the time come to the altar, brother.
Right.
They have a broken spirit and a broken heart. They really want out of that life. But you know, they want out of that life for their good.
Right.
They don't want out of that life because they want to serve God or want Jesus Christ. They don't come to, they've never come to that place of contrition. God had to absolutely break me beyond my spirit and beyond my heart to bring me to a place of contrition where I said, oh my goodness, it's been against you and only you that I've sinned in your sight.
Yeah.
I've been a lawbreaker against the holy God. And it broke my heart to realize that I'm the one who helped hang Jesus Christ on that cross.
Yes.
Contrition will drive you to the cross.
Yeah.
You understand me? Religion will keep you sitting in your pews, lost, going to hell. And contrition, not a broken heart, not a broken spirit, but contrition will drive you to the altar and it'll drive you to the foot of the cross when you finally realize what you are in God's eyes and what you have done against Him. It's not what I did against my mother. It's not about what was done to me. It's about a holy God who chose to hang on a cross and die for us. I had a man tell me, if God is so loving, then why does He cast people in hell? I said, He doesn't cast people in hell. They choose to go there because they reject Jesus Christ. They reject that contrition. I'm feeling depressed. I'm feeling sorry. I better go get to my psychiatrist. I better get that medication. Hang on, let me open this beer. Hang on, let me sniff this line. Oh, let me go over here and get this chick. Instead of facing the contrition, stay there, and all they want to do is come up with a broken spirit and a broken heart, and they claim that as conviction. That is so far from conviction. It's
right.
Disgusting.
Right.
I see them walk up there, and I go, they have no clue. They have no clue. They keep shutting up. Here's what they do. God has showed them some things, and they hang on to that with their whole life. God is not trying to show them the things they already know. He's trying to show them the things they don't know. That's what's going to bring them to contrition. And they refuse it. They reject it. I'm not rejecting it. Let me just tell you what I did for 4 years of sitting in a pew. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, those who are diligent, He'll give reward to. Is that what it says? Those who diligently seek Him, He'll reward.
Right.
So I sat in that pew, looking at my pastor, preaching the King James Bible for 4 years. Why won't you save me? Why am I being diligent? Look at all the study books. Look at all the material. Look at everything I've written. Look at all I've done. Let me give you a little hint. Your diligence and God's diligence are two different things.
That's right.
Brother Trent, here's what got me. Outwardly, I would confess that to people. Look at how diligent I am. Look at all this stuff that I've studied. Look at all I've done. And then I remember God showing me, Dale, it's time to go to church. I don't have to go to church. You know what? I'm not going to church today. I'm being diligent. Hey, what about reading that Bible? I don't have to read that Bible, Brother Tim. I don't have to read that if I don't want to. Who's going to make me read that? Ain't no God going to make me read that. But I'm being diligent, remember? You know, God used those two circumstances to bring me to a place of contrition where I finally came to that place that I was a rebel against the holy God and that I was not being diligent for Him, that I was being diligent for myself because I was looking for a way out of the life that I had, but I wasn't looking for a way into life with Jesus Christ. I was looking to get out of my life, not to get in His, but to get out of my life. You see, most people want to escape what they live, but they're not looking to get in what Jesus wants to give.
Right.
That's reality. What do you mean, I have to live that way? Hey, you know, now that you're saved, you got to go to church and stuff. Woo! Church, yeah!
Amen.
Hey, you know, God says study to show yourself approved unto God. You know, you should really be reading your Bible. Well, you know, you see, they got to that place where they got an emotional rush at an altar and somebody rubbed their back. You're okay. You're all right. You got it. You did it. Good boy. Good girl. No. I want to get up and karate kick somebody when I see that. Listen, I want to say something so... This is so serious. These things that I'm telling you. You see that beautiful woman holding that baby? I don't know how close we were to hell because people were doing that to me and her. Because they tried to convince us. They tried to convince us that we had something that we knew we did not have. Listen. The witness bears witness with our spirit. Whose witness? His witness. If your spirit is trying to witness to your spirit that you're saved, you got the wrong spirit. I just want you to know that. That's not the right one. Because it's His spirit that bears witness with our spirit, not your spirit bearing witness with your spirit. Hey, if you're struggling with that, then God is trying to show you something. Stop fighting it. Stop running from it. Stop shutting your eyes. Face that thing. Get in there and look at it. It says to search out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Brother Tim, do you think a verse like that would make somebody want to go and see if they really are saved? But it doesn't.
Right.
It says search it out with what? Fear and trembling. Against who? A holy God. But you know what? There is no fear of God because the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And you know what Jesus Christ says? With their mouth they have professed me, but their heart is far from me. Because people in their heart, they don't have any fear of God because they're a fool. And in their heart they're saying, I don't have to do that. I can do it my way. He's just splitting hairs. That Bible can't tell me what to do. That preacher, that evangelist, he's got no business to tell me what to do. And they're going to try to stand there and convince God who's sitting on the throne. And all he's going to do is say, angels, bind them hand and foot and cast them in hell. And before they go to hell, they're going to get on their knees. And they're going to confess that he's the Lord of lords and King of kings. And they're going to say, I'm sorry. He's going to say, it's too late. It's too late. God uses the Word of God. This is the candle that lights the inward parts of the belly. What are the inward parts of the belly? It's that deep, innermost sanctum that we have shut off to God, ourselves, and others. And He wants to light that up. He wants to reveal that to people. Here's what people are doing, Brother Trent. Every time God gets close to putting their finger on that spot, they blow it out. Go ahead and read Revelation chapter 19. You know what it's going to say? That God is going to come to a point where He's going to blow that candle out and it no longer will shine in thee. And then it says this, that it's going to, the bridegroom will no longer be heard in thee. It's over with.
Yeah.
That person is done. They've rejected Jesus Christ too many times. Let me ask you this. Who is willing to play Russian roulette with their soul? Are you ready to try to spin it one more time and walk out of here hoping that just one more time that you're going to be okay? I made it through a Wednesday. I made it through a Sunday. And I made it through a Thursday. God is not going to do anything. There is no fear of God not the fool had said in his heart. That's something a fool would say. That's something a fool would think in their heart. That they're going to walk out of here and be okay. Without contrition, there is no repentance. Without godly sorrow, there is no repentance. And I tell my friends in jails and prisons that I work with, I tell them this. The one you're seeking for is not the one you think. It's not the one man has told you about for all these years. And I'll pick up that Bible, and I'll say, the one you're seeking is here.
Yeah.
He's here.
Amen.
And it's going to go against everything you've ever been taught. Slowly and methodically and prayerfully and lovely, I have to go in there and I have to tear all that nonsense out.
Right.
Just got to tear it out. Because man has been taught that. Man has been taught a religion. And I'm going to close with this. I made a jailhouse profession. I walked around with a jailhouse profession. I walked out of prison with a jailhouse profession. You know what I did, Brother Trent? But I left Jesus at the gate. I didn't bring Him home with me because Because you know why? You can't bring something home that's never been in you.
Right.
That hole I talk about, I don't know if you guys ever heard. I talk about that big old void, that big old hole. And I tried filling it with everything, drugs, alcohol, fornication, gangs, all that stuff, and it would just blow out the backside. I never filled it. I never filled that hole. My wife's love for me never stopped me. My love that my son had for me, my daughter had for me, that never stopped me. Why did it never stop me, Brittany? But I met this man named Jesus Christ 8 years ago, and his love stopped me dead in my tracks.
That's
a miracle. That's a miracle for somebody who believes. That's a miracle for somebody who believes in the God of this Bible and that he'll change a life. Hey, listen. God is not worried about what you sound like on the outside or what you look like on the outside or how many people you can smile. Hey, that one that you are secretly, that's the one God's trying to expose. And only you know what you are really inside. I have people all the time come up to me and shake my hand and put a smile on their face and they hate my guts. You know why? Because that's who they really are. They just can't see it. They refuse to let God show them that. My mother was a very hateful and bitter woman. Abusive to no end. Abusive to no end. She loved to hurt me, and she still does it. I'm 48 years old, and my mother still tears me down. Still does things to me, man, and just take the heart out of a lion and stomp on it. Brother Trent, you know what God tells me I have to do? To honor my father and my mother. I'll never honor somebody like that, okay? You'll never serve God. You'll never have anything in life. And you'll always be the same person you've always been. One of the very first things that God started working with me on was honoring my mother.
Amen.
Dale, we're not moving any farther until you learn how to honor your mother. Hey, love and honor, they're even spelled different. I want you to know that. Love and honor are spelled different. He says you'll honor your mother. Jesus gives a warning about this, about people listening to men. He says, I told you to honor your father and your mother. But a man comes around and says, if you give your parents a gift, you don't have to honor them anymore. Oh, really? Because a man has come in and told a person that. Let's get back to what God is trying to say. Let's get back to what he's got to say and how things are going to work. You see, I'm no different than you, except for I may be saved and you might not. But I'm no different than most people that are sitting in this church. And I come from a pretty low life. I come from a pretty rough background. And for 40 years, four decades, imagine that, Brother Trent, four decades. I gave my life to the devil. I gave my life to sin. You go, what? So Jesus must be a crutch to you. No, no, no. Jesus ain't for the weak of heart. That's why many people don't want it. Not many. How many things? Not many mighty. Not many people who are smart. God doesn't call. He takes the fools of the world to confound the wise. He takes men like me. This is why so many people in jails and prisons, they mean so much to me. Because I know that if Jesus Christ can ever get a hold of their hearts, they'll go out there and set the world on fire.
Right.
That's why God chose Paul. Because Paul lived as a man no matter what. No matter what. He thought he was doing the right thing for God. Therefore, he's killing Christians and everything else. God said, if I get a hold of that man, sorry, he'll go out there for me.
Yeah.
He'll go out there for me. That's why God gets a hold of men like me. I gave my life for the devil. I gave my life for religion. I gave my life to hatred and bitterness. Most of my life was destroyed. Listen, not by the outwardly things that I did, but the bitterness and hatred destroyed my life. ask this question, then I'm done. You don't have to answer, but I just want you to think about this. How powerful is the God you serve where he can't change a person's life? Because, brother, let me say this. I wanted to get out of the life I was in, not confess a name, and stay in the same life that I've always been in. If that's what's happened to you, you have the wrong God. 2 Corinthians 11, verses 3 and 4. Paul warns of the other Jesus.
Yeah.
And the other spirit and the other gospel. And he gets that out of Isaiah chapter 14:14, where the devil says, I want to be like the Most High God. I will be like the Most High. He didn't say he'd be the opposite. He said he wants to be called Jesus. He wants to have his own Bibles out there. He's got his own spirit of Antichrist out there. And you know what? People are calling him Jesus. And they got the wrong Jesus.
Right.
And Paul has warned us over and over again, that's the other Jesus. That's the other spirit. That's the other gospel. And he's bringing people to hell, calling on the wrong Jesus. How about that, Brother Tim?
That's right.
People are going to hell calling on the wrong Jesus.
That's it.
The devil, he was subtle. And how he done it back then in Genesis 3. And he's subtle today. And he's got people calling on the wrong Jesus with the wrong spirit and the wrong gospel. And you know what? They refuse and reject to see the truth. That's reality.
Amen. Thank you.
Just sit down, hold me up.
Okay. Listen, praise the Lord for that. It was true. It was Bible preaching. Let me tell you a story real quick.